Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Welcome in, episode 204. On this episode, we talk about majority name, image, likeness. The problems, the issues, why student athletes should be able to profit off their, off themselves, really. We also throw in some stuff about Luka, the basketball wrap up, and the Masters. Masters week. Let's go. Have a day.
Welcome back, Washer Walk-Ons fans, episode 204 of the podcast. Today, whether you guys like it or not, is the Masters cast presented by the Washer Walk-Ons. Because I can say unequivocally, I think, I can say with little hesitation that golf is the favorite sport of two-thirds of this podcast. And the Masters is the favorite tournament of two-thirds of this podcast. So by the transitive property, we're talking about one of the biggest sporting events that could ever happen as far as this podcast fandom goes. So yeah, today's the Masters cast, whether you like it or not. And we start a little early without Kevin, and he's probably going to be pissed, but that was Kluver's decision. Yep. I'm a hostage here. You guys make sure to let Kevin know that this was not my intention to cut him out. I think he is a worthy third of this podcast, but Kluver said he's a worthless piece of shit that's always late, and I can't help what Kluver says. So I'm just here, like I said, doing the introduction. Kluver, what's up, man?
I'm really glad that you're a part of this brand and this, you know, this movement, this Wash Up Walk-Ons thing. I really am. Like, I don't give a shit what people say. It would not be what it is without you. I know there's a lot of people who have in the past said, I've gotten plenty of DMs. Some of you listening have probably been those that DM'd me and said, hey, if you would just cut Drake, you guys would get so many more listeners, or you guys would be able to get so many more sponsors, or you guys would be able to this, that, the other. And I just like, I don't respond to most of them. The others, I basically say like, hey, you know, you and everybody else, you don't really know Drake. And man, it's good to have you, bud. This is,
I appreciate that.
Yeah. This is a Masters cast, which sounds real smooth and crisp. In reality, it's probably going to turn into majority of our discussion will be about, name, image, likeness, since that's kind of hot. But the start of this is going to be about a couple other things real quickly before Drake and I start the conversation. Again, I did start the podcast without Kevin, but we've told the story about how our senior year, we missed one third of spring ball practices, and KF didn't fucking wait to blow the whistle until we got there. You know, that's fucking bullshit. Okay. All right. If we're going to wait for fucking Kluver and Ward's ass, all right, we're going to be the fucking 14th team in the Big Ten. Fucking shit. I hope people like that one. I hope y'all got, you know, you got your KF fix there. So yeah, we started without him and he said he's going to be 10 minutes late. That was from an 8 o'clock start time and it's 8:07. So we should be expecting him in 2 or 3 minutes. I want to thank a couple just savages who, after listening to the podcast with James Branstetter, a lot of good feedback, by the way, Brake. I know you're not on Twitter. A lot of good feedback about our guy, James.
I like to hear that. He was a great individual to get to know a little bit better.
Awesome, dude. And I think because of that podcast, we gained several more to the Walk-On Army.
See, I'm trying to do more of those and they can just be Patreon episodes.
Just for the Patreon members.
Maybe. Just so we can get more of them through. You know what I'm saying? So sure. We can have more conversations because yeah. It was fun. It was just a fun thing to do.
It was fun. Or we could just like throw it in as like a.
Or maybe we do 3 or 4 of them and put them all together.
Yeah, man. I don't know. It was like I said, better than expected. And I enjoyed it. But those new members who joined the Walk-On Army and now deserve your rightful shout out are Craig, Jordan, Colton, Gerald, and as recent as 10 minutes before I sat down for this podcast, Caleb threw a big boy subscription our way. So you can subscribe at the 4, 8, 12 level, but you can also just donate your own amount like that you choose. Caleb went big boy with that $25 a month. So Caleb, you want to come hang out or it's starting to get a little,
dude, I'll touch your butt.
Yeah. It's starting to get a little personal here. So, we're going to have to come up with some new perks for the 20 plus subscribers. Not in any way sexual, allegedly, but maybe. So that takes care of that. Now, another thing I wanted to mention was basketball quickly. Luka Garza, about 4 hours before this podcast, consensus player of the year.
Back to back.
Should have been. Yeah. Yeah. Got fucked last year.
Wait, so then he's unanimous, you're saying?
Unanimous this year.
Every single vote.
I think there's 7 of them that matter. Like in football, there's like 5 or 7 or whatever. Every single one. Luka Garza, National Player of the Year. And he deserves it.
So he's back-to-back Player of the Year, but this time he just swept the board.
Well, Obi Toppin was last year. He didn't win it. He didn't. Yeah.
I forgot about that guy.
Yeah, I mean, Luka's that good that it feels like he just won it last year.
See, that's fugazi. Yeah. I forgot about that. You just actually triggered me horridly.
You're triggered. I can see it in your face.
You see how red I am now?
Yeah, I see it in your face.
I just realized that Luka got screwed again. He just got re-screwed in my mind. I'm sorry. I need to take a moment.
He got more screwed? Well, I don't know. Who got more screwed? Put it in the comments on YouTube or tweet us. Who got more screwed? Keith Duncan on the Groza or Luka on his junior season National Player of the Year? Because they both got bent over and tapped a little bit, you know?
Which is just unbelievably unfortunate. Unfortunate. Disrespected like that.
Yeah. Speaking of basketball, last night, we're recording this on Tuesday, the day after the national championship, somebody else got tapped, and that was Gonzaga. Didn't see that one coming. Didn't even see the second half because for some reason we're starting games at 8:30 now. Hey, Drake and I were just talking about this. This is why we started the podcast. I got shit to do in the morning. Okay. I'm training clients at 6 a.m. Your boy needs sleep now. I can't stay up and watch.
And I just want you to know that those are Iowa football scary hours that you've got these poor people out doing these workouts with you.
Come on.
The days that started with a lift at 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. were the tough ones, man. And you got these people out here. You're just putting them through to give them the pain that you once went through. You're just being a masochist.
Well, one of them might be an Iowa football player. Okay. Allegedly. which brings up another point. It's incredible how many guys that we played with that I was for sure did not respect me or like me as a person. And I'm fine with that. I probably deserved it. Have hit me up on the DL and said, yo, how do I get in shape, man? So it all comes full circle. But yeah, those clients are choosing that. I mean, they got to work. So clients, they got to work out. So it happens in the morning. And if you, this is shameless plug, but if you want to get on a Zoom call with me and have me yell at you to fucking squat lower or, you know, lower your butt on a plank, I'm down. Okay. We can put in a little work, but that's besides the point. Gonzaga got worked by 15. And they were my champion in my bracket that I filled out, a lot of people's champion. After watching them play Iowa earlier in the year, and maybe generally I think Iowa wasn't quite as good. Clearly there was some weaknesses that got exposed, but still a top 10, top 15 team, the Hawks were. After watching Gonzaga kind of pick apart and handle everything Iowa had to throw at them, granted Iowa didn't play their best game that game early in the season either, and watching Jalen Suggs, who I didn't know was a freshman. Is he a freshman? I'm pretty sure he is.
The kid from the point guard from Gonzaga?
Yeah.
Yes, he's a freshman, and he was a big football recruit.
Yep.
And I saw a couple very good tweets. There's like an Instagram thing, you know, where they put videos and with tweets on it, and it was like one of them was from his coach that said, I feel bad for trying to get Jalen Suggs to play football in college.
It was Arkansas State's like recruiting coordinator or quarterback coach. He's like, I'm embarrassed that I tried to make Jalen a football player.
But I mean, in his defense,
Roski could have been D1 easy.
Dude, his highlight film is filthy.
He's 1% of the 1%. He's an elite athlete. He's not a guy that you want to step to on campus and say, hey, one-on-one, let's go. You know, like he's going to beat you.
Speaking of, did you see that some dude challenged Jordan Bohannon one-on-one?
Yep.
And Jordan's like, all right, dude.
Bet.
Did anything ever come of that?
I only saw the tweet. And Jordan said, hey, awesome, let's do it. If you lose, it's $1,000 to the children's hospital. And I think the guy responded with like, I swear, or something like, I'm like, you know, all in. Yeah. That guy is in trouble, first of all.
Asinine, dude. These people are asinine that are out here challenging these real athletes.
I don't think, yeah, it's, and even I get sucked into it too. Even, you know, and I think, you know, I have maybe a little bit of a stronger leg to stand on, but you know, you want to feel like you still got it, man. Sometimes these guys, that are playing, they don't have a good game. And you're just like, I could take him. I could defend him. It's like, dude, you would get trashed, buddy. You get trashed. You get thrown in a trash can like Drake threw the trash can at me after that.
No, actually, hilarious story. Back when, to start this podcast off, Clipper said that some people don't like me and they may still listen to this podcast. At this point, you're going to want to get your popcorn ready. Back when I was little, I was friends. Well, I mean, I'm still friends with this guy named Bryce Keeler. Shout out Bryce Keeler. He is in the Air Force, lives out in Utah right now. Shout out my buddy Bryce. His older brother Chase was a great guy, but he was getting a little fed up with my antics, and he got his hands on me down at the ballpark after I had been being a pest, and he stuffed me in a ballpark trash can head first.
No.
Yeah, dude, in front of like bunch of people too. So that was a tough moment for your boy in regards to trash cans.
Everybody needs set down a little bit, you know, everybody needs set down. I've been thinking
and listen, hey, this is not my plea for help because I'm not a victim. I got what I deserved.
Dude, speaking of victims, oh, everybody's a victim, man. If I see one more person or have to talk with one more person who has a defeatist mindset, I mean, I'm serious. The amount of people who want to, I don't even know how to describe it because I can't associate with it at all. And I can't identify with it at all. The amount of people who want to be a victim of something or, you know, it hurts. It hurts me. I've seen a lot of it recently. Ooh. Anyway, it's Masters week. I know
I don't know how we're about to do the Masters cast without Kevin, dude.
I mean, it's now 8:17, man. It's 8:17. We can talk about other stuff too. In fact, let's start the discussion on
the NIL.
On NIL, and we'll come back around to the Masters and Bryson DeChambeau absolutely murdering golf balls. In a video clip that I saw today.
He's going to hurt himself, by the way.
But his back? I was even naive. We're not going to talk about it yet. NIL. What is NIL? Name, image, likeness. And in fact, I'm going to, while I talk here, pull up the previous episode where you can go back and listen to our thoughts that were, gosh, at this point, almost 2 years ago. On if athletes should be paid or not. And that was almost a podcast about discussing salary versus name, image, likeness stuff. And a lot of people were saying, you know, I came out and said, like, hey, on Twitter, this is when Jordan and everything was going off last week. They're meeting with Mark Emmert, president of the NCAA, who's a probably a clown.
Who's they? Jordan Bohannon is meeting with Mark Emmert.
Bro, you're so out of the loop, man. Which I'm envious of you.
I'm looped out, pal. I don't know where we're
at. So, Jordan Bohannon.
Yep. I knew Jordan Bohannon was behind like a big movement.
Yep.
For, you know, pay the players. I knew where we were at here. I just didn't know that he was getting face-to-face with the NCAA president. Because I've talked a lot of shit, and I never gotten face-to-face with some NCAA president for it. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep. So, Jordan Bohannon, Geo Baker from Rutgers, and I'm blanking on the other kid's first name, but his last name is like Livers or Livers or something. I believe he played for Michigan. They got together and got the president of the NCAA, Mark Emmert, to meet with them face-to-face last Thursday, so 5 days ago.
That is insane.
That's a step forward. I don't care what comes of the meeting or if he's actually going to do anything.
The NCAA president.
Correct. You know, in the middle of the tournament, too. And so Jordan talks about this on his most recent podcast. And he also talked about it a little bit with John Miller on Hawkeye podcast. I listened to both of those. And so you can hear more about it there. But essentially, they're fighting a hard fight for name, image, likeness right now. And I mean, Bohannon's literally, he's trying to be revolutionary. Like, and I know a lot of fans in the Hawkeye world have been rubbed the wrong way with how confrontational and aggressive Jordan has been on Twitter to some of you and to some other people in the conversations about the NIL. And Twitter, again, never the place to have a civil discussion where you're trying to actually both understand the other side and have the other side understand you, and then also be productive in making decisions about that topic. So, I mean, you're getting into what you're getting into with Twitter. But yeah, I mean, Jordan, he's on the front lines. And so essentially what's going on is student athletes, man. I shouldn't even call them that because we know firsthand that football was first. Football was first, dude.
To the point where I had a coach stand up at the front of the room and say, school first.
Yep.
Well, second.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. And actually, I'm a little bit sickened with, because I can remember doing some interviews during our time, you know, when we were relevant. And I remember saying to people who would ask, or it would come up like, yeah, you know, worried about school and getting all that done because you're a student athlete and all this stuff. And I was bullshitting. I was lying. I was fucking lying to make just, I mean, I don't know why I would do that. And I'm a little disappointed in myself. And I know I lied to a bunch of little kids at the elementary school that my mom works at. Now that's probably a good thing because school is important for a lot of kids, especially some of those kids. But essentially, NIL stands for name, image, likeness, and it is not what we talked about with Drew Tate. I asked specifically Drew about paying players, and he took it as a kind of salary type of thing where, you know, the NCAA pays every student.
General managers ask questions to find the right players, like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to make sure you find the right candidates with the skills you need. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. And with Indeed assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with skills you need. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Athlete a salary, or the university comes up with the money to pay every student athlete they have a salary. And what NIL is essentially, it's not even a guarantee. It's just an opportunity. Right. So for example, and we're going to get into a lot of nuance here, and I'm excited actually to hear your take on it, Drake. And once Kevin shows up, he's now 23 effing minutes late. He's beating it.
Listen, man, when you when you only have so much time in your day, you got to fit things in. Maybe.
Yeah, no, I understand. Maybe. I understand. I got off track because I'm talking shit about Kevin. So name, image, likeness, it means that you can essentially, as a student athlete, just to give you it's a lot more nuanced than this, because the way the internet and social media has grown has turned this into something that a lot of people don't understand. I think a lot of people actually don't realize, oh my God, and there he is, don't realize how much of an opportunity is being denied to today's student athletes. And we will get to examples of what that looks like. But essentially, using me for an example, I catch a pass against Ohio State. It's named the Polecat. That comes out in the media. Then everybody knows me about the Polecat. Then Big Grow Brewery comes out with the beer named the Polecat Porter. Granted, that was after I graduated, so I could actually make money on that if Big Grow thought I was any sort of worth anything nowadays, which clearly they don't. But I could have, if I had another year, essentially gone and done commercials for them. Or it could be as simple as you go back to your hometown. And because you are Kevin Ward, he can go back to Homer Glen and he can run a Savage Bat camp in Homer Glen. Right, Kev?
Hell yeah, baby.
Do you know how much money Kevin Ward could make in Homer Glen off a Savage Backs camp?
You could probably charge $2,000.
Exactly. They like pay it $80.25.
$80.
Ain't nobody coming to a Savage Back camp, boys. You got to be kidding me.
Hey, but you would at least have the opportunity to run one.
You know what? I damn sure would, and I'd like, just probably be there by myself. Maybe some moms would show up, and you know, we'd learn how to bust through the wedge on kickoff. It'd be a great time.
Yeah, absolutely. Bust the wedge. I love it. I knew your mind was there. Kevin, you're joining us most definitely from a long work day. How's the life of Kevin Ward been recently?
Oh, man, busy as shit. I'm fucking tired, boys. I had a long-ass weekend, and I do Easter, and two long work days. I am freaking beat. As soon as this podcast is over, I'm hitting the hay. I'm going to get like 6 hours of sleep, and I got to do it all over again tomorrow. I fucking love it, man. I fucking live for this shit.
Hey.
Where you guys at? Because I'm up here. I'm up here. I don't know where y'all at, but I'm up here.
Let's go. Let's go, Kev. I'm right there with you. You know what that is, baby? That's American freedom. That's democracy. And that's what we're talking about right now. We just started the conversation on name, image, likeness. I'm interested in starting right here. I have two potential arguments against NIL for student athletes that hold any kind of significant weight in my mind. Off the top of your guys' head, I'm probably a little bit more prepared. I have a document up in front of me. Is there any good arguments in your guys' mind against student athletes being able to profit off of their name, their image, their likeness?
The only idea is that some people would be shit rich, and that could get a little bit dicey for coaches to keep under control when some of their sheep are literally just sheep, and then some of them are
the golden goose. Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Okay, so that's on my list. Good. I want to go over that. Kev?
Yeah, I mean, there's that, and then there's the fact that these are 18 to 22-year-old kids that, you know, would they manage, you know, trying to profit off their name, image, likeness very well, in addition to the full-time requirements of a student athlete. And there's also what Drew Tate said when he was on the podcast, is like, you know, it's not a, I understand what he's saying, but I don't know how strong the argument is. Is, you know, college football is like the last pure sport. As soon as you get money involved, that's all it's about, is money. So
yeah, good, awesome. Both valid. We're going to touch on both. The third one for me has to do with actually walk-ons and the amount of scholarships available and how that could be significantly tainted. So I want to start with you, Drake, how, because I've heard a lot of this too on the Twitter arguments, and it was, well, if we got a bunch of guys getting paid, or more specifically, just a couple guys getting paid a lot, and, you know, Kluver and Kulik, the fullback and the snapper, they're making $20 off of an Instagram post, and Nate Stanley's making $100K off of his endorsements. Isn't that going to create a disdain in the locker room, right? And in my
I wouldn't be salty with Nate.
No,
I'd be salty that I was so damn unmarketable.
You're right.
I feel like such a peasant. But at the same time, I would never be mad at one of somebody who I
ever
consider a family member getting their money up. Like,
bingo.
Congratulations.
No, exactly. And you know, the only reason I could imagine it causing a problem is if that person were to be a huge dick about it.
Yes. And here's the thing, right?
I can't imagine it. Yeah.
Absent of the money, right? Like, there were some dudes that were undesirable friends.
Sure, absolutely.
Right. And that's gonna play itself out regardless of if they get money. Like, you know, they're gonna be a dick about other stuff. So I'm so happy that you guys said that, because that was my response to people on Twitter. I said, there is no way I'm getting pissed at Nate Stanley or TJ Hawkinson for making six figures because I can't make six figures as well. And here's the other argument is okay. What, Kev?
I said, as long as he's scoring touchdowns and balling out on Saturdays, like, hell yeah, I'd be happy for my dude.
Exactly. And it's like, okay, cool. Yes, there's going to be a discrepancy, right? There's definitely going to be guys who make more. And there's going to be some guys who don't take advantage of all, don't have any kind of personal brand or social media following, and they choose just not to really make any money. Again, it's an opportunity.
That's America, baby.
Yeah. There's
people that make a shit ton of money, there's people that don't make a lot of money, people don't even want to work a job. That's America right there.
Kevin's out there. He's working 28-hour days, making way more than I do. And I'm over here. I'm just collecting stimmy checks. You know, that's what I do. I podcast and I collect stimmy checks. My name's Tyler Kluver, and I'm a leech.
This is my tight talk.
But no, like, I would be happy as hell, right? And I and the argument is like, well, there's going to be, you know, some people are going to get more, some people are going to get less. Well, yeah, that is how things work, right? I got to tell you this. Nate was already getting more than me. I already felt like he was getting more than me. He was getting more attention. We walked out of the locker room. He was getting more autographs that people wanted. He was getting the interviews. He's getting more. I know that. I'm okay with that. I snap a ball between my legs. As Drake said, I look at my nuts, dude.
Finally said it, dude.
That's my job. And I know where I stand. Guys within the team, they know where they stand. And if they don't, then for other reasons, they're probably not going to be on the team very long, and it's not going to be an issue at all. And so that's how I look at it. And the ability for both guys to make an amount of money, whether it be 100,000 versus 1,000, is still better for both guys than making zero each, right? I mean,
especially if that guy making 100,000 isn't an asshole and he'll buy his buddy a dinner every once in a
right.
while. Oh, hey. Let's go to Applebee's.
Take the old line out for dinner.
Half price apps and milkshakes, and I got it, fellas.
Yeah. Now, Kevin, your initial concern was, oh, these are 18 to 20 year old kids. We're gonna have a hard time. Definitely, some of them figuring out how to manage this opportunity, and for those that profit heavily, that amount of money. Well, you're right. Yeah, some guys. You know, including probably most guys that in that first year, especially the ones who are good, Desmond King, anybody who played as a freshman and is going to be marketable right away, there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve there, right? And figuring
Absolutely.
That out.
I mean, it's not like you when you first get a job at 22 is not a learning curve already, so just bump up the learning curve, I guess.
Right.
It's just a difficult time in your life to have to learn that type of shit, but
it is.
I may have been a little bit of an issue if I had $100,000.
You might have been an issue. You might have been an issue. You're still an issue with you know what you are right now, what you have. I would say. And you're 26, so it doesn't really go away, right? Not only that, but I understand they're kids, right? They're kids, man. We can't. It's a game. It's amateurs versus pros. Like when they turn pro, they can worry about that stuff. Okay. Well, in basketball, there's 19-year-old pros, right? Like there's one and dones. So they're having to figure it out at 19, right? And also, these guys can go die for their country. We can send them to Afghanistan and they can get blown up. But they're too young and they're too much of a kid to handle making $10,000 and figuring out a tax form, right? Like, where's the, you know? Like,
and I want to be clear. That's not what I was getting at. I want to be clear. It's like managing, like trying to market yourself while figuring out how to be a student athlete, like trying to figure out how to be a student athlete for a D1 college at 18, freaking hard.
It's tough. I would say
throwing a big old pile of money at them and trying to figure out like, hey, how are you going to make money and stuff like that? Might just, you know, make things a little bit harder, but
yeah,
sure, guys can figure it out.
And I understand that. And that almost speaks to another argument. This is good that I saw was, okay, well now we give these guys the opportunity to make money. Right. And they know that if they can create a brand and they can go get endorsement deals or make money for posting Instagram pictures or whatever, isn't that going to take their mind off the game? Right. Isn't that going to contribute to the, you know, the depuritization of college football? And is college football going to be a different game? Yeah. I mean, it's a different game every year. Rules change, society changes, all this stuff. Right. what I'm thinking of is if I'm a guy who knows that my personal brand is now profitable, I know that the better I do on the field and the more that I produce and am on that TV screen wearing that jersey, and the better that our team does, the farther our team goes, the more profitable I'm likely to be. So why would I not work harder to then in turn increase the profitability? Like, that's how I would view it as a student athlete. Like, I'm gonna bust my balls now to actually make a name for myself. Like, the name carries weight now. You know, I don't know.
I don't like that argument at all, because I would bust my balls as hard as I could.
And I know that it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like I was half-assing it because I wasn't making money off my name, right? But maybe it's an incentive to not start slipping up or not start, you know, maybe it's on the other end. Maybe it's like, well, maybe I'll consider not going to the bars or making this certain decision, because if I get caught, not only am I in trouble with the football team now, but I lose my $10,000 sponsorship with the whoever, you know. I don't know. It's a difficult thing, like Kevin said, and it would definitely add to the transition of being a high school student to a Division I athlete who is figuring out school, social life, a new city, all these things.
Shout out to Bohannon for being on the literal front line of that one, though.
That's front line. I think that it's a bad idea, and there's a lot of other arguments for this, but I want to go macro here. I think it's a bad idea to, first of all, I think it's inevitable, right? At some point, name, image, likeness, it's going to happen. Because if it doesn't...
Didn't the NCAA already vote to allow it starting like a couple years?
I'm not up to date on that. And part of it is state by state. So I saw something that was like, now the NCAA has basically voted to leave it up to the states. And so like Texas, Georgia, Colorado, other and some other states, California maybe, like I think there's 8 states who have now, like, the NCAA is leaving it up to them, and they've voted to, yes, you have NIL rights. So now these schools are, I think, like, anybody in those states are going to have the ability to do it. So talk about a discrepancy or widening the gap here, which is the other major argument with boosters and stuff. Well, the gap's only going to get wider until everybody legalizes this or makes it a right. That's the other thing. It's like, it's called NIL rights. Like, if it's a right, kind of seems a little dirty that we're, you know, withholding it from these kids, right?
No, right. And I think it's just completely un-American to tell someone they can't make money off of their own name, image, and likeness.
Yeah.
But at the same time, with the boosters, like, will the rich get richer? Will the Clemsons, Alabamas of the world just be able to, you know, not even have to recruit on the fact that they're, you know, great football programs, win a lot of championships, so now, you know, they got the boosters with the deepest pockets. It's like, why wouldn't the best players always go to them? And it's just going to be, you know,
that's already the way it is.
Yeah, I was going to say, is like, can you widen the gap any further than it is, though? Like, you know? Like, it's,
you know, I mean, at least some of the other schools got a fighting chance right now. And I don't know.
There's only so much talent, though. Like, there's only so many scholarships at, you know, they're already getting all the 5 stars. There's no more. It's not like, and so this is where the argument comes in that I actually thought was really interesting. It was back to the start of this conversation was, well, you get, you know, say a team has 22 scholarships available or 18 scholarships available for a certain class, right? They hand out all those scholarships normal. And then baseline, no doubt, they're now able to go to another 5, 10, 15 5-star athletes and say, we don't have a scholarship left for you, but here's this booster who can guarantee 100K. for your tuition, books, and board for the next 4 years. And so that's taken care of. You're essentially on booster scholarship. And so now they've essentially created 10 more scholarships because some booster has guaranteed $1 million a year. That And so now your walk-ons, you're, you know, because those guys would be walk-ons technically. Now you have 25, 30 scholarship players, talent-wise. And I don't know how to get around that. I really don't. That's a good question to ask. My only counter argument to that is, well, now everyone can do it and it's legal, right? It's like,
right. It's like there's no question in my mind that name, image, and likeness would be abused by boosters to say, hey, kid, give you $5,000 for your autograph.
Right.
Type thing. And I think that's the biggest counter argument to it. But at the same time, it's like, okay, well, is that the worst thing in the world that we're putting $5,000 in some kid's pocket that might have come from a poor upbringing? Is that the worst thing in the world?
And I don't
and
think
it's like,
so.
Okay, if somebody's paying him $5,000 for his autograph, quote unquote, really to play football at that institution, it's like, well, then someone thinks he's worth paying $5,000 to play football at that institution. And
you hit the nail
what?
On the head.
Free market.
You hit the
That's
nail on the head with that.
I don't know.
Because what has to now be assumed is, okay, well, now you have boosters that are forking up their own cash. And I understand the money runs deep for some people, right? There's probably boosters out there who, if they wanted to, could supply a $100,000 booster scholarship that would mess up that whole deal for 10, 20 years and never even make a dent in their money. But you're also, you're making that commitment to a kid out of high school, right? Who, yeah, maybe they've gained some followers being a great, you know, top 50 in the nation football player in high school. So they have what, 4,000, 5,000 followers? The best, the top 5 or 10 athletes, you know, the most marketable high school athletes they have in the dozens of thousands. Cool. You're making a bet as a booster, like, hey, I'm giving you this 100K. I'm kind of betting on that you're good, right? And attrition says that, you know, probably anywhere, 50% of the guys aren't going to make it. So they're, you know, they're kind of it. I think that the boosters would be a little bit more wary, actually, in who they're just forking out cash to. Would it happen? Yes. But again, it comes back to, well, do we really want to withhold an opportunity from a college kid, right? I think of two people who come to the top of my mind on this issue, and it's Dallas Jacobus and Kyle Starcevich, who played at Iowa State, who we had on this podcast, I had on this podcast. Kyle is extremely good at art. I actually have a painting of the Polecat play, a catch, a still frame of me diving on the 2-yard line that he painted that sits in my basement. He could easily have made tens of thousands of dollars in the over the course of 4 years doing a little side hustle painting art business for people. Dallas Jacobus, if he would have been singing from freshman year and going and playing gigs like he is now and doing all that, he could have been making money off that stuff. Both of those guys were walk-ons, right? And then it comes back to the thing that you said, Kev, is like a lot of these kids are coming from families and situations where, holy shit, yeah, the scholarship is huge, right? We don't have to pay that money. In fact, the opportunity wouldn't even be there if the scholarship wasn't a thing. But now he can make something off of his name. Now he can, I mean, we all know 10, 15, probably could name them off the top of our head, teammates that we had who would send money from their scholarship check each month back home, right? They were helping to support their family. And so, I mean, this is changing lives on another level. And there's a lot more to it, but yeah, it's an interesting issue. And I think it's going to happen regardless.
I think my, in reality, strongest argument against it, and it's a weak argument, but it's also the one that is most dear to my heart. And it's exactly what Drew Tate said. It's like, it takes the purity out of the game, because I loved college football so much because it wasn't about money. It was about you and your boys and your family and just getting up every day, grinding, and just going to try to win football games. And I realized that that's probably a thing of the past. And, you know, the way things are moving forward, it's inevitable that we're going to start paying these athletes because they're bringing so much money to these schools and, you know, are worth more than scholarship that they're being given. Granted, is that scholarship extremely valuable? Is it potentially life-changing? Absolutely. But I kind of relate to what Drew Tate said, and, you know, college football is a beautiful thing because once money is involved in anything, that's all it's about is money.
Yeah. I just, and maybe I'm naive or I'm just way too optimistic, and you know what? I guess time will tell. None of you sitting there, nobody in this argument can tell me that I am right now or that I'm not until it plays out. But I just think that it becomes another facet of college sports, and that it actually in the end doesn't take away too much of the purity. I really don't think it will. And maybe that's coming from my own bias and how I would have handled it, but absolutely, our guy's gonna only care about trying to grow a personal brand, and yeah, you know, there'll be those guys, but a lot of those guys, they're gonna have the wrong, you know, motivation at their core, and that's gonna lead them to no playing time, you know, transferring. The brand's not gonna be there anyway because they're focuses in the wrong spot. So I don't know. I know this. Kevin Ward could have made a shitload of money doing some bodybuilding competitions during college.
Fake news, bro. Fake news.
Let's quickly talk Drake.
Who you got in the Masters?
Yeah. Let's quickly talk Masters before we wrap this thing up. I'm taking Bryson. DeChambeau, DeChambeau, the champ, though. I'm going to take him because Kevin, who do you like?
Dude swings the stick harder than fucking Barry Bonds, man. Oh,
that's why Kluber's in
fact. I don't know. Dude. I don't know.
When you said we were going to talk Masters, I literally responded with, I'm going to suck Bryson off. I mean, he's going to tear his spinal column in half swinging that hard.
This dude is going to give him orthopedic injuries of a football player by playing golf.
Yes. He's going to have a shear injury on the fucking on his spinal column.
The way he twerks his knees too, like Jesus,
not good.
I think I'm either between John Rahm or DJ.
Okay,
I know that Drake is a DJ guy.
I always love DJ. I don't like John Rahm. If you really pick John Rahm over DJ, that's the most un-American thing I've ever heard coming from you.
Is that more un-American than NIL rights being denied to student athletes?
Whoa. Are we doing who we want to win or who we think will win?
All right. I mean, I guess that's a fair comeback from you.
Can Tiger play yet?
No, but I think that JT is going to win it for Tiger.
Wow, that'd be something. Have you guys golfed? How much golf have you guys played this year?
I've gotten one round in so far. Didn't play too bad. The greens were terrible, so I'm not going to count how badly I putted, but hit the irons and the driver pretty well.
I've played three times, once with Ike, once with Ben, once with George. They were all three tremendous times, but
were there vitamins on the course?
Vitamins. I played the fifth, actually.
Okay,
I played the fifth.
Well, it's legal.
I suggest you do that.
Yeah, that's actually probably smart. anyway, all I know is I saw the video of Bryson hitting the balls today, and it looked like that those golf balls had cheated on his wife and he was trying to blast them into another nebula, essentially.
which is why he's going to lose, because he thinks that that's the best way to navigate Augusta. And it's just not quite the best way to navigate Augusta.
I mean, I definitely don't know.
Dude, I'll tell you what, man. Spieth looked good last weekend.
And I'll tell you what, I've got Spieth in my DFS.
Hey, are you getting in that little tournament with Yonker?
Hey, dude, how about you be the first one into the whole thing next time, and you tell me. I showed up prepared. I'm front of the line.
Is that right?
Yeah, let's
let's fucking dance.
Listen, I may have the champ and I may not. I didn't pick my team because I think I have the champ. I picked my team because I think I have the most top tier like finishers.
Well, that's a good way to do it. I love that Yonkers made it into this podcast, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 episodes in a row. Like, what a fucking guy. I mean, I love that
just
guy.
Just a legendary human being.
In fact, we need to have him on the podcast.
He's not interested in being on the podcast whatsoever. I've asked.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
No. Well,
he's going to keep his legendary status to himself and his close friends.
I like that. I like that. It increases his
You know my favorite thing about the guy is one of the funniest things is what? He has 10 Snapchat friends and he doesn't want any more Snapchat friends. And if he ever takes a Snapchat, he sends it to all 10 friends. He's like
every single time.
He sent me a we were driving home from Indianapolis this weekend and he sent me a Snapchat. I'm like, dude, I'm right fucking next to you. He's like, Kevin, I have 10 Snapchat friends. I take a Snapchat, I send it all 10 of you. Okay. I don't care if you're
dude.
Knowing that I make the top 10 feels so good.
Yeah, I feel left out, but that is he's the most like 42-year-old dude in a 26-year-old body or person. Like that's incredible. What a guy. That's episode 204. There's a lot more to talk about NIL. But there will be times and places to talk about those as the situation develops with the NCAA. And I plan on doing this podcast until I die and they put me in the ground. So,
really?
Yeah, absolutely, dude. But like 10, 20 years from now, it's just going to be, I'm just going to completely talk shit about the players. And I'm just going to say like, I'm better than them. And I'm just going to totally flip the card and be like, I didn't know what I was talking about 20 years ago. These players aren't shit. And I'm going to be like, no, they shouldn't be getting paid. And the fans are always right. I'm just going to flip the script and become the Colin Cowherd of the Iowa media landscape.
You're just going to be trolling for clicks then?
Absolutely. At that point, selling out to
I mean, it's a proven model. It's what works these days, apparently.
Yeah. I do doing advertisements for any adult company or liquor.
I'll tell you what, dude. If you become Colin Cowherd, you better hope I'm dead.
You're going to come murder me?
Dude, I will fuck you up.
Think about the awesome arguments. Think about the awesome arguments we could have, though.
And it would end in you getting really pooped on horridly.
I'm going to Edward Snowden and never tell you where I moved. And so you can't do anything to me physically. And then I will be formidable. As far as a verbal argument goes, but not much else to talk about. Crush your week, everyone listening, like Bryson crushes golf balls. And that's it. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.